welcome to the Aftershock Central podcast with me. No, it's not just me. It's a whole bunch of people here. Man, I got to work on this intro thing. We're all here. Travis is here. Ronnie is here. I am here. Kind of.
Full Voltron.
Finally, we're recording late, so apologies for that. We blame it on Ronnie.
That's fine. I got broad shoulders.
Oh, yeah? Are they padded?
Yeah. Like shoulder pads.
Oh, my God. That was the best of 80s fashion.
Yep. 80s blouses.
80s blouses and crocheted shoes. I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. You're going to make fun of my crochet shoes on air?
Hey, let me tell you. Nick and I just talked about my barefoot shoes for 30 minutes on Nerdy Legion, so it'd be fine.
All right.
We talked about your crocheted shoes as well.
Hey, the Hey Dudes are the best shoes I've ever bought in 40 years.
Okay, well, I said the same thing about the Tesla Bear Treks. So we should have a shoe out.
A shoe out.
Anyways, let's talk about some aftershock. That's what we're here for. I would ask if there's news, but Ronnie probably doesn't know.
Oh, that's hurtful.
Is it?
No. There is no news, so.
Good. See, called it. Good. Great. We're going to talk about three fantastic books today. We'll be discussing Descendant number 2, Stronghold number 4, and Volition number 6. And Ronnie, since you are the newest member of this podcast, I'll let you pick the first book.
Okay. Let's go with Descendant 2 then.
Descendant 2, written by Stephanie Phillips. With art by, hey Ronnie, who's the artist on this book?
EB, that's what I call
him. Evgeny Borkinov is the artist. We have colors by Lauren Affey and letters by Troy Pateri. Ronnie, why'd you pick this book to go first?
Because it's right up my conspiracy theory rabbit holes that I get into like daily.
Yes.
And it's pretty awesome.
Very good. There might be some nerd talk on this because the sign of the kidnapper is one of my favorite symbols. I might get into it, but maybe not. Anyways, tell me about this book, Ronnie. Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
Nope. I was just on mute. Oh. Sorry.
That was my dog. Weird, dude.
Ronnie's been kidnapped.
By the secret society who finally shows up in this book. Yes. And the Secret Society members look crazy.
Yeah, they do. So I didn't catch this on the first one, and shame on me. I feel like I should have caught it. It seems like the secret cult is maybe related to – I mean, I'm going to assume the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's what I assumed as well.
I don't think it's explicitly stated, but when they're repeating their oath – it seems pretty obvious that there is some kind of religious sect, and that was pretty interesting. It has me curious as to know like what the ultimate plan is, right? Because it's obviously not a cult, some random dude creating a cult of the streets. You know what I mean? It's something that's been around for a long time, and what is their ultimate goal? I think that's something that we really haven't had hints to as to what the ultimate goal of the cult is, aside from the fact that they kidnap children of powerful figures.
Yeah. And it's pretty obvious that they are some kind of religious sect because they said that they're defenders of the faith and cast away Satan's design.
Yes.
In one of the panels.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason I said I should have caught this because the symbol that the kidnapper left is the two interlocking circles. In like art history and stuff like that, it's called the Viscus Piscis. And you actually see it on like particularly like medieval paintings of like Jesus and other religious figures, where the central figure, usually the saint or Jesus, is in the center of the figure, and they're enclosed by kind of like an oval design. That's the center of these two interlocking circles. And the interlocking circles have a lot of different meanings in like numerology and They're used like throughout religious depictions of different figures, not just in Christian mythology, but just all around the world. And it's fascinating. In fact, it's going to be part of my tattoo that I'm designing.
Nice.
Ah.
Yeah.
Mystery revealed.
Mystery revealed. Yeah. Oddly enough, it's the cross section of a torus. We don't have to get into that because that's going to go into some very deep rabbit holes. but do you guys know what a torus? It's basically a donut. A donut is a torus, and if you do a diagonal cross section of a torus, you get a Villarco circle, which is what this is. This is the two interlocking circles. And that's also got a lot of deep metaphysical meaning. So that's why it's part of my, upcoming tattoo.
Nice.
Yes. So shame on me for not catching this in issue one. Of course I didn't expect it, right? Because I was kind of expecting some offshoot of the, Lindbergh story from, the 1900s. But I like the way that we're diving into some conspiracy theories because, Travis knows Ronnie and I love me some conspiracy theories.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, everybody knows that too.
So Travis. Okay. Yes.
Let me ask you guys then. So are you on the same page maybe that, like detective guy, like is working for the secret society?
You're talking about the guy that breaks him out of jail.
No, I'm talking about the guy who's working. Like, there's the two detectives that are on the case.
Oh, okay, yeah.
For this, for like the missing baby, and you know, like at the end, lady detective who hasn't, she was somewhere else. She kind of was like, "Oh, you dropped something," and it's like a ski mask, you know. That to me suggests that he is maybe, because we don't know like where he was when all this stuff was happening, you know.
So do you think he's the one that was trying to kill him in the cell? That was trying to kill David?
Possibly.
Huh.
That's kind of what I thought too.
Like there's certain points like throughout the issue where kind of like he seems to kind of be trying to shut up David, you know, like. And it makes me think that he's kind of on the inside in this investigation. Like, but it, I don't know. Like, it just seemed to be very pointed to be like, oh, you dropped something. It's the mask that, like, the person was using earlier, you know?
So that's interesting that you bring that up because I actually thought the opposite. I thought he might be working with the guy that broke David out of prison. So I know that I know that his partner tells him, "Oh, hey, you dropped something." But I thought he had picked that up when he was searching the body of the guard that got killed.
Mm. The way that the panel looks, it kind of it's not on the body. It's just laying out there.
Yeah, it's just laying out there. Yeah. So I didn't catch that he dropped the mask. I think. Well, I mean, like, yes, he dropped the mask, and she did say to pick it up. But I didn't think it was his mask. I thought he had picked it up while he was searching the other body. And he's definitely trying to hide something, but I didn't think he was part of the sect. I'd be curious, though. I mean, it could be one of those what's the terminology for that?
The bait and switch?
Yeah, but there's a term. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Like a red herring?
Red herring, there you go.
Oh. Yeah.
Where, like, you know, the writer makes you think that one character is going a particular direction, but it's the opposite. Yeah. Kind of like we're seeing a lot in Stronghold, right? Which we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. That's the way that I saw it. And to me, I almost feel like that would maybe fit a little better the whole dynamic of this conspiracy theory if he is a red herring.
Yeah. I mean, it though begs the question, who is, like, what's the deal with the guy that broke him out?
Yeah.
You know, like he, it seems like I would assume he knows kind of what's going on some level. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to do this thing. You know, he's not just in the, like in the kind of casual practice of working for the FBI and breaking like witnesses out of FBI custody, like on a whim, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's always that one person who breaks away from the occult and kind of stands back and tries to sabotage them from getting going.
Yeah. Or somebody that quote unquote sees the light right? And decides to no longer agree with it. But the best way to defeat them is to stay within the group. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like there has to be a second group.
Yeah.
The
rebels, if you will.
The rebels. But I don't know. I mean, we just don't know enough yet, right? Even 2 issues in.
Yeah, because I think that this cult or the sect goes all the way back to, like, the Lindbergh thing.
Oh, for sure, right? It's the same
symbol. And maybe even further than that.
Yeah, it's got to go way before that. How much, we don't know. But yeah, at least to the Lindbergh baby, because it's the same symbol. And as we learn from that one sect member, that's the symbol of the sect.
Right.
But obviously it's not a well-known thing, because otherwise either the FBI or David or somebody would have made the connection to the sect.
Well, they're a secret society. Duh. It's a secret. Nobody knows them.
Well, is it like the is it like the Mason secret?
Yeah, that's not a very good kept secret. No.
That's
But if it's a secret, then why do you put your symbol on all the ransom stuff?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't know. It seems like they're not really trying to be anonymous, are they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you know any of them?
I don't know. No comment.
I mean, he couldn't tell you because it's a secret.
That's right. See?
Secret? I got a secret?
Yes. But is the sect actually the ones doing this, though? Or is somebody throwing the symbol out to get David to take a look at the sect?
I'll tell you who I think's in the sect is his ex-wife.
My God, you are such a conspiracy theorist.
That's who I'm serious. That's who I think it is from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Because you know she was there. Like within minutes to bail him out, and that's the reason why they got a divorce, because he was crazy and always doing conspiracy theories. And if he's close and getting closer, then what's the best defense is just to blow it off and make everybody else think that he's crazier than what he actually is.
So I don't think that's entirely crazy, because I thought that the person trying to kill him was a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, his ex-wife was already in the FBI building talking to the other detective,
yep.
Or the agent rather, Agent Hernandez. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I mean, she was there, but yeah, to me it looked like a woman trying to kill him. And again, it could just be. I mean, it's hard to tell, right? Because the person's wearing a full body robe, but just for some reason, to me, it looked like a female shape.
But wouldn't you want him to be locked up? Like, if you were part of the secret society, or is that part of it that they want people to be talking about this stuff?
No, they have to shut him up because he's close to knowing what the symbol is.
Yeah, but she's bailed him out at least once since this started.
But that was just him talking quote unquote random nonsense, though.
Yeah.
Not actually figuring out what the symbol is. He was on it and trying to figure out what the symbol was, and then when they were in the car, I think last issue, he was talking about the symbol, and then like that's when she realized that he knew more about the symbol than whatever, but then everybody else in the sect has to see that he knows more about the symbol than what they thought.
And
which
Travis,
leads us into this issue.
The best part of conspiracy theories is when they're like redundant conspiracy theories, where like there's a conspiracy theory, but it's kind of like a cover up for a deeper conspiracy theory.
Yeah, which we'll get back to that on my final thought. So hold tight for that.
Oh, okay. All right. See, this is the perfect book for Ronnie and I.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting. I tell you. I wish Aftershock would just do like 30-page books instead of just a standard 22-page book or whatever. Because I feel like a lot of the stories that Aftershock does for sure read better in trade. And as a result, as a person that gets all the material on a monthly basis, I want more of every story. And I think some stories deserve more space, and this is one of those that, to me, deserves more space. Obviously, because I love conspiracy theories. But I feel like we could really get a lot more out of this had it were it a bigger book every month. Matter of fact, I'll say the same thing when we talk about Stronghold.
Yeah, I agree. This could definitely be a OGN series book. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why those books are awesome, is because we get the whole one, and then we can get, it's like the Netflix binging of comics, because then we can get, you know, 2-3 months later, we get volume 2 of it.
Yep.
Like the Garth Ennis War book, volume 2 comes out later.
Yep. Well, that's why I like what like Action Lab does. With a lot of stories like this, where they'll release 2 issues in one book.
Yeah.
And so you really dive in very quickly into the story. And you don't have to wait for more on the next one. And I mean, obviously, like, you want your reader engrossed to come back to the next issue. But I mean, like, if you get to a point in the story where you really introduce what the book is about, a lot of times that's better done through multiple issues instead of just one. And, you know, right now at issue 2, I think we're in a good place with Descendant, where we know what this book is about, kind of. Not entirely, because ultimately it is a conspiracy theory thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wish we did get a lot more on each issue.
Right.
Lengthwise, not story-wise, Stephanie. Your story is fantastic.
Yes, correct.
All right, let's get to final thoughts. Ronnie, let it out.
Okay, so this goes – we're going to go all the way back. But we're not going to go too far back yet. But say C2E2 when we had the panel.
Yes.
We were at the panel. And Stephanie said that the Wando cover of issue 1, mm-hmm. which the second printing of issue 1 came out last week as well as issue 2. So if you go to there and then you go all the way back to ACP episode 3.
Oh, my God.
When we had Joe on. When Aftershock started, what was the first conspiracy theory? Was that everything was connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Stephanie being brilliant that she is, and Wando being brilliant as he is, issue 1 cover has the symbol that's in the book right now. It has the hands from World Reader. It has the black-eyed kid. It has Gore from Dark Ark in the background. It also has the Beyonders in green left and right on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, brings that conspiracy theory back, you know, 2 years later or 3 years later, even though, you know, there's no really conspiracy going on or links to this or that besides, you know, Collins' books or whatever. but that he has confirmed. But, you know, that's just the level of awesomeness that this book is, I think.
And you know what's funny? I almost thought about Black Eyed Kids when they're talking about kidnapping the politicians' mm-hmm. kids.
Mm-hmm.
It almost gave me that feeling like that's what the Black Eyed Kids are. They're like right. kids that are getting kidnapped from these rich people, and they're going through some kind of ritual to bring these dark forces from another realm into our world to give them more power. So yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
And like the second printing of issue 2, really, it's colors that are different. So you can even change at the first printing, you know, is the orange and red. You'll have to duck, duck, go it and put them side by side up.
Mm-hmm.
So then what's his name from Dark Ark? The Gore? The dragon guy? You know who I'm talking about? Or not the dragon guy, the lion guy that I'm talking about?
Cruel.
Cruel. Yeah. Cruel, yeah. So his colors change from orange to red, and then it changes and it looks like the serpents from under the water that was attacking the boats, because now they're green and off green, and you still have the black eyed kids, you still have the World Reader hands, the dead hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. It's just cool how even the simple color schemes, it still has the same effect on it. And maybe it's just me putting my tinfoil hat on and be like, hey, you know.
Ronnie with the conspiracy theories.
That's a big conspiracy. That's a big crazy theory, dude.
Well, I mean, it's, and like Martin said, like when you're reading it, you're like, hey, that's what the Black Eyed Kids are. So, and I read that too, and maybe I'm reading into it because I'm leaning that way. But why not take all these conspiracy theories, especially when you're an Aftershock fan from, you know, like day one,
yeah,
saying maybe that was the big rumor going forward, or conspiracy theories that, hey, they're not announcing it, but, you know, it's all a shared universe, basically. And then, you know, we had Joe on and we talked about it, and he denied. And so then, you know, this is like her little fun Easter egg, her and Wando's fun Easter egg thing. But you're like, hey, here it is. This is a conspiracy theory book. So here's your fan service conspiracy theory.
Okay. But if you want to build on that, I feel like there is an idea that all of Donny Cates' creator-owned stuff is also shared universe. So maybe all of Aftershock, if that's a shared universe, is shared with Donnie's creator-owned stuff.
Well, since you said that, I was going to mention that the two babies on the cover of Descendant number 1 reminded me of Baby Teeth.
The two babies?
Yeah.
On this cover?
On Descendant number 1.
Descendant number 1, there's no babies.
There are two babies. There's a baby on each side of the biscuit.
Yes.
So, I mean, we had Baby Teeth that had two babies being sacrificed to the devil or whatever. So there's that.
Yep. See, you guys get it.
I get it. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. I am with you. All right, let's rate it up. Ronnie, you go first.
This is 47 out of 5. this is like automatic book of the week almost every time.
Yeah.
And it's only been 2 times, but, you know, it might be book of the year even.
Oh, my.
Wow.
You heard it here first. And that's no conspiracy.
Travis, what's your rating?
I'm going to go 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4 out of 5 as well.
And you both are crazy.
I think once this book is like 4 issues in, I'm going to give you the 450 out of 5.
All right.
But right now I'm going to stick with my very solid 4 out of 5. All right.
That's restraint, dude.
It is restraint. All right, Travis, you get to pick the next book.
All right. How about Stronghold.
All right, Stronghold number 4, written by Phil Hester with art by Ryan Kelly. Created by Phil Hester, Ryan Kelly, and Tyler Walpole. Colors by D. Cuniff and letters by Simon Bolin. And Travis, why'd you pick this book?
Why'd I pick this book? I guess maybe because I'm more positive on it than I am on the other option.
Oh, wow.
Whoa,
shots fired.
No, I don't know. Like I'm more motivated to discuss this.
Fair enough.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
We will get there. I love this book. So tell me about this book, Travis.
Tell you about the book. Okay. Well, I mean, we kind of open up and Michael's in the whatever it's called, you know, like the thing that's running like Matrix lifetime scenarios over him and trying to like wipe his mind. But he's not really buying into it because they've cut Claire out of everything. And so, I mean, that seems to be his motivation. But like when he comes back to it, basically she's broken him out because she's infiltrated, and they get into a scuffle. She gets shot, and then they're trying to make it to the apostate. And I think the apostate is the most interesting part of this, because like he would have you believe that there is no apostate, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says it's a legend, you know. But I don't know, like why would the enemy or whatever, the adversary, send them to find the apostate if it didn't exist, you know? So I
don't disagree with you. However, I will disagree with you, because if we go back to the whole conspiracy theory thing, this is something that we see in conspiracy theories all the time, where you make, not just in conspiracy theory, but like this is like a thing in pop media all over the place. So you already mentioned the Matrix, so I'll go with the Matrix analogy. If you watch all three Matrix films, what do we learn after the, well, I guess after the second Matrix, is that there is no, like, the one, right? The one is just the thing that the machines created to make people feel better about their shitty existence. And the apostate seems in this book to be kind of like that. It's one of those things given to kind of give Michael some kind of false hope that maybe there is more to life than what he is seeing. However, if you realize the greatness of the third Matrix film, it is not a crappy movie. There's some very deep stuff in there that kind of explains why there actually is the one and why it's important. Just like here with the apostate. I do think there is an apostate, and I do think the adversary knows that there is one. The character that they meet, I don't think is the apostate.
Yeah, he's like a bounty hunter that tries to intercept people. And he may think that the apostate doesn't exist.
Correct.
He's like Eli from the Book of Eli.
Wait, what?
You know, like Denzel's character?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what he reminded me of, seeing him.
Huh. Okay.
I don't have any solid thing, but like seeing him, it just seemed like he was like one of those, the person that that rides the fence for both sides, kind of.
I gotcha. Okay, I gotcha, I gotcha, I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I do think that there is ultimately an apostate. That doesn't mean that this guy doesn't play the role of the apostate. But he also doesn't know any better because he's also engrossed in this illusion that the stronghold has created for Michael. So he does play the role of people that want to stray from the path of the stronghold, and serves to stop them. But I think ultimately Michael may find an apostate, or something that leads them to whatever realization the apostate is supposed to give him.
Well, I mean, obviously this dude has to know something, right? His sidekick's a alien demon thingy.
Yes. But what I'm saying is I don't think he is the actual apostate.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think so,
right?
Either.
Because the way that it seems to come off in the mythology of the book is the apostate is not quite, but maybe almost as powerful as Michael is. Just like the adversary is almost as powerful as Michael is.
Right.
He just kind of – he's like, you know, you have the light Jedi, you have the dark side, and you have the gray Jedis, unless you're Disney, in which case gray Jedis don't exist.
That's right.
But, you know, in the books, gray Jedis were a thing, right? Jedis that could use both the light side and the dark side to kind of guide their decisions. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what the apostate is.
Yeah. Or maybe what Michael is.
Well – you know, Michael seems to be kind of like on the dark side.
A little bit.
I mean, I think by this point, I'm almost convinced that that's the case. And I think there's some hints when he's talking to Claire a little bit about the fact that, like, maybe he's the, like, when they're looking at the cave paintings, right? Mm-hmm. He almost questions, like, whether he's the one leading the cave people to fight this monster or if he's the monster. And I'm on the side of he is the monster. And that's ultimately why the stronghold was created. And I think I mentioned that when we talked about issue 3 a little bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Travis.
I think that I agree that's definitely possible. I was just going to say, I think it's interesting the idea that, like, you guys mentioned, like, the kind of pet, you know, hound thing, right? Like that thing hunts. Basically, like, it's like it was bred, you know, on another planet to hunt things like Michael. And to your point about the adversary or the apostate, like, how many things there are out there that are like him, you know? And I guess that ties into the idea of, like, the relationship between, like a theological story as we understand it, you know, on Earth. But when you open it into like an intergalactic story where maybe these things aren't gods, but they're aliens or something else, you know?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of that on Earth, right? I don't know if you guys are familiar with, like, cargo cults, for example. But cargo cults are a thing. So cargo cults are, like, I mean, not they're not uncontacted anymore. But there would be, like, tribes. Like, for example, there's a cargo cult for, like, Prince Philip of England, right? Where, it was, like, after World War II, I think it was. He showed up with, like, gifts for the people there, and somehow, like, they just automatically assumed that he was a god. Or if you go back in history, like, that's the reason why the Spanish were able to defeat the Aztecs. Because in their mythology, they had these white gods with beards that came from across the sea. And so when the Spanish showed up, they're like, oh, it's the resurrected version of Quetzalcoatl, you know? So cargo cults are a thing. And it's almost like whatever species Michael belongs to may have some kind of similarity to that as this mm-hmm. spread throughout the cosmos. You know, we see it in the cave paintings. Obviously, there was some kind of battle between Michael's people and the adversary's people. But I got the hint that at some point before they went to war, like, they almost worshipped Michael's people. How the adversary became as powerful, that I don't know. But that's just the way, kind of the way that it seems. And I wonder if maybe that's kind of the case here. And really that's how the stronghold got formed, right? The stronghold are those people in the cave paintings that we see.
Mm. Yeah, that's cool. And I think we've said that from, like, issue one, right? Like, the stronghold might not be as bad as what they portrayed, just because she seemed hard and harsh at the beginning.
Well, like, Michael makes a comment about being incomplete, right? And I wonder if that is kind of, like takeaway is, like, whatever is going on between him and Claire, whether that could make it so that he's not the monster that kills everything or something.
Sure.
I don't know.
But the thing is, like, what does he need to do to not be that monster, right? And I think he touches upon some of that stuff when she breaks him out of the Matrix. Because we see, like, I love the first few pages of this book. Because it's basically the same story, right? Same number of panels, same story. But just, like, minor tweaks, right? Like, in one scene, like, he's being driven off by the security guard. That's a guy. And the next one, it's, like, a woman that's a security guard. Or, like, they throw up, you know, in every story, they throw him a birthday party on that day. But, like, when she breaks him out, he's like, no, this is not real. Like, you're lying to me. This is all part of this fake story that they're bringing me into. And she hugs him. And that's when he realizes that this is real. Because through all the simulations he's been through, nobody ever hugged him.
Right.
Yeah. And so, he's always been isolated.
Yeah, he's always been isolated. And so that's how he knows that this is real and that she's real. And maybe that's what he needs. Maybe the only reason he's this world-destroying monster is that he never had love. And I mean, that sounds super cheesy. But, like, maybe that's it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's the way to fix
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that. Yeah.
That's make super love, not war.
Yeah.
That's the super simple answer that nobody ever thought of because it was so simple.
Right. Sometimes the simplest answer is the right answer.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that a thing? There's a name for that.
Occam's razor?
Yeah, Occam's razor. Exactly. The simplest solution is always the best solution.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, like, the strong will never think of that.
No.
Because they're afraid of what Michael will do.
Right. Yeah, I like it.
I loved it, man. I tweeted a Phil because I'm really curious. Like, I want him to tell me, excuse me. I wanted to tell me exactly, like, where this all came from. Because there's, like, so much, like, cool, deep, like, philosophical stuff that pops up in this book. That I wish it would just be like, hey, like, I was reading this book and it gave me the idea for this. And I asked him and he kind of gave me this runaround answer.
Well, he has been on the show twice.
He has been on the show twice.
Third time could be a charm.
That's true. All right, we should get Phil on the show. We'll do an all Stronghold show. But yeah, I love this book. There's like sometimes you have a book that comes out that is just, it's fun, but it also gives you like a little thing that you want to think about. You know what I mean? And I was just talking to Nick about this, like Aftershock and Black and Volt do a really good job of putting out these kind of books mm-hmm. that are like fun reads on the surface, if that's all you want. But if you right. want to dive into them a little bit more, like there's really a lot of depth in the writing.
I agree with that. So yeah. Travis, put Phil Hester on the docket the month of July.
Damn it, I won't be podcasting in July.
I know. Conspiracy? I don't know.
I think so. Every time you have Phil on, I'm not here. What's up?
Well.
I love Phil Hester. I love you. Not that way.
You'll come back, dude. We all know you're going to come back for the Phil Hester thing. That's fine. You should.
No, I'm taking the month off of podcasting.
Except for that, yeah. Except for 3 days into it when you're like, I miss it, so I'm just gonna like ease into it.
Well, that's why I have to do it. Because I've said I was gonna do it before and it lasts like 4 days.
Yeah, you have made similar pronouncements before and we've seen how they went.
Yes.
So.
And then I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? Let's record a podcast right now. But not this time.
All right, let's rate it up.
Yes. Travis.
I'm going to go 4 out of 5.
I'm going to go 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 5 out of 5 as well.
Correct answer. Thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to our final book of the evening. And that book is Volition Number 6, the final issue, written by Ryan Parrott with art by Marco Itri, colors by Leonardo Pacioretty, and letters by Marshall Dillon. I don't know if you guys know this, but Pavarotti just put out a new CD. And every time
good for him.
Every time I see this book, I always think of Pavarotti.
Huh. All right.
Anyways, we're not here to talk about opera. We're here to talk about Volition. So this is the final issue. I foresee that Travis had some issues with this final issue. I thought it was well done. I thought the ending was interesting. Even though it does end with the end, which automatically I think would assume means we're not getting more. The story is left open enough where if at some point Ryan wanted to come back to this book, there is a way to continue. Travis, I could see why maybe you're maybe not as happy with this book. Because I think, like, for example, some of the stuff was maybe glossed over a little bit. Like the whole story of the doctor that we've had for the past 6 issues. We're now kind of led to assume that the doctor created the virus on purpose to get rid of the robots so humanity could regain their stance as humanity. So I'm curious, Travis, what's up?
Well, I think you kind of touched on it is the, you know, a lot of the stuff that they set up but didn't necessarily really address. And that's the main one, I think, is like that you did so much to set up this Tremor character. And I don't know, as a caveat, I have to just put out there that I'm not mad that it wasn't what I predicted or anything, you know, like it's not just that like, oh, well, you suggested maybe that it was going this way and it didn't go this way. But like they gave her some real estate in this story. And then they're kind of like, oh, yeah, but whatever. It's not really important, you know, and like they set up this intrigue about where Russ came from and why. And, you know, like I thought that was tied into basically the status quo of, you know, a system that pumps out big robots that then are instantly obsolete and you got to do something with them. But in this issue, they kind of really contradict that and just being like, no, we figured out that, you know, we could take those robots and turn them into like essentially healthcare consumers.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but they don't really, I don't know, it's like not really for that long, I guess, you know, and I don't know, is there like single payer in the future? Like they all have healthcare? Who's paying for these obsolete robots to like get their rust treatments? You know, I don't know. Like it felt like all of the kind of conceptual things that they were trying to set up, in a sense, like I feel like they really just veered away from that and went in a different direction. So I don't know.
No, I hear you, Ronnie. Some thoughts?
I was kind of like you, like Travis or you. I was kind of disappointed that it didn't flush it out too much, but you know, it's been a super fun read, and it's like one of those books that I just read on the surface as a super fun book that I really didn't like deep dive into like the previous two books that we talked about. So I was smiley face emoji.
Yeah, I mean, I actually enjoyed this issue a lot. I don't disagree with your points, Travis. I think you do make good points. The stuff with the doctor, I kind of wish had gone a different way. I do wonder if part of the problem that I have is not so much with the direction the book ended up taking in this last issue, but whether the format doesn't allow for a different kind of story. Like to me, this book was always very like anime or manga inspired. And I think if this were a book like, you know, a manga, that would run for hundreds of issues, I think the story could have really gone some really cool places. And like I said, there is some setup for where the story will continue, if it ever does. And I think it does give the reader a sense of hope, based on the characters that we've kind of become accustomed to over the last few issues, that they're kind of in a good place, right? You know, there was some revenge against the bounty hunter robots, like Emoji Man and whatever the girl's name was. There was some revenge against them. You know, Amber seems like she's doing okay. She can kind of combat the rust that's inside her. So maybe it's not entirely bad that rust is around. There were some cool themes brought up, you know, Colonel Sanders here talking about creating this like class of healthcare consumers. And like, that's a real thing, right? Like that's very much in real life, at least here in the US, where that's kind of how our healthcare system works. So it's not like off pace. I do think the story could have gone in a different place, but really only if the story had more room to tell that story, right? Like if we were able to get 25 issues of this, for example, I think even the revelations of this final issue would have ended up in a different place at the end of that story. But I'm pretty happy where this thing ended up. I think I'm going to agree with you, Ronnie. The journey of this whole book has been really interesting. I think the characters have been really fleshed out. Even some of these really robotic ones, like Hale, for example, they had a lot of personality. I mean, aside from the bad guy, right, the doctor, nobody was really two-dimensional. And that's interesting because all the characters are robots, but they have more personality than the one human character that we deal with a lot in this book. So I think in terms of that, it was successful. That's my two cents.
Yeah, I'm with you there, buddy.
Well, I would just say that in terms of a continuing storyline, if they just do a volume two or whatever, I thought it was weird. Her characterization is they ask like, oh, you're going to find like the doctor and then like find a cure. Right. And she's like, oh no, I'm not going to find a cure. I'm just going to kick her ass. Right. That's what they said. And like, that is so unsympathetic. And like, and the idea that you're not going to try to be like, no, fix it. But you're like, oh no, really? It's a petty vengeance thing and not I'm really trying to address this fundamental premise conflict engine thing that's built into the plot is like, oh, well, I guess that wasn't important. Really, what is important is the story of this one character who figures out what's going on and is pissed off about it.
All right. Well, I mean, I didn't get that from the story. but I understand your reasoning.
Like, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, maybe it's just a joke, and really they would fix it if she tracked them down to be like, okay, fix it, and then I'll kick your ass.
Sure.
Yeah.
My only thing is I still wanted more out of the way this world works. Cause I think to me, that's been the most interesting thing about Volition, since issue one, and something that we never really dove into very deeply, just because of lack of time and space. So I'm not blaming the creative team for that at all. But like, there's some really cool things that are kind of brought up. You know, like even the relationship between the two bounty hunters, right? Emoji Man and I can't remember the girl's name ever. Like, to me, that was interesting. And granted, originally I thought she was human and he wasn't, so that would have made it even more interesting. But, you know, Travis, we talked about that a little bit with issue five, when Hale goes to that guy's house and, like, he had dated Amber and he's human and she's a robot. So, like, how does that work? I would have liked to see more of how this world works behind the scenes. But again, with the amount of issues that you get and the amount of pages, probably not something that's feasible to do.
It's very difficult in a, whatever, you know, 5-6 issue story to really dig into a high concept like premise, you know?
Yeah.
Like every single page is like prime real estate, or should be.
Sure.
So balancing that with something that speaks to characters and, you know, like storytelling is rough.
Mm-hmm.
So you do your best, I guess.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. All right, let's rate this one up. I'll go first. Man, I should not have gone first. Because I have not rated this book yet. I'm gonna give this final issue a 3 out of 5, but I'm gonna give the entire arc of issues, all 6, a 4 out of 5.
Travis?
I'm totally on board with that. I feel the exact same way. 3 out of 5 for this one and 4 out of 5 for the series.
Well, I'm going to go 4 out of 5 for both. Because I thought it was fun. And I mean, I just, like I said earlier, I didn't really look too far into it and I enjoyed each issue. And I can see where Travis had his issues with it. And like you, Martin, if it was like a side book, I would like to see more of this world and how it works.
You know what I wonder sometimes on these books is, how much of what other books come out in the same week affects our rating?
Yeah, that's a good conspiracy thought.
Because like when Animosity comes out, like that's very tough to compare it to whatever other book comes out, right? Because like there's so much craziness in there.
Yeah.
And like Travis and I talked some crazy about the last issue of Animosity. But, like, there was more crazy. We just felt like not discussing. In fact, Travis and I discussed it after I quit recording because it almost felt like it might be a little too much to talk about on record for the show. But I almost feel that way, right? Like, we had Descendant and Stronghold that really dive into some really interesting, complex topics. And then we have, I mean, granted, it's the final issue of a series, but, like, you're trying to wrap things up, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I do wonder if sometimes when we review these final issues, if our scores get a little jaded based on other stuff that we read.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, if this would have came out next week or, you know, came out the week before, you know, and that goes with all the other stuff, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, my mind might have blew up if Animosity and Descendant would have came out at the same time.
Sure.
Which has to be strategy for Aftershock 2, right?
Yep. Well, I'm sure it'll happen at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's next week, we have 2 books. We have Orphan Age number 3, and we have a brand new title in Trustfall number 1.
Nice.
Yeah, should be good.
I've been waiting for Trustfall, so.
Yeah, the concept sounds interesting, so let's see how it goes.
Yep, and like all other first issue Aftershock ones, I'm sure it's probably going to be nothing like what we thought it would be.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with us, Twitter is always the best place. Ronnie is at Rumbar316. Ronnie, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me back, guys. I really enjoyed it.
We've missed you.
Yeah, I miss myself too.
You can, of course, find Travis at The Great Magnet. I am at GeekVine. The show is at, I almost said Nerdy Legion, at Aftershock Pod. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.